Thanks for joining us for the Executive Series. Today I'm speaking with Marcus Burns, who is the Portfolio Manager for Spheria's Emerging Companies Fund. Marcus, it's good to talk to you.
Hi, Tom.
Now, let's talk about the journey and how you start out sorting out the sheep from the goats when it comes to this part of the stock universe, because there are a lot of companies in there, and to find the ones that are going to serve you well can be a pretty challenging process.
Yep, thanks, Tom. It can be. In small companies, which is the space we operate in, we do a lot of filtering. So we've got a couple of basic filters. We're trying to find the lowest risk universe of stocks to invest in. So we filter out stocks that don't have good cash flows or maybe have very highly geared balance sheets. And we end up with a small universe of what we think are lower risk stocks. And then we do a lot of work on assessing their fundamentals and valuing the stocks and finding a portfolio of low risk but reasonably valued stocks.
Okay, so are there any particular themes or any particular industries that you hone in on when you're applying this lens?
Yeah, not especially. We invest in every industry. We find opportunities can lie in either resources or media or technology. It really depends on the actual stock and business itself. So we look very much at business level rather than an industry level. And we're really after stocks that can make, as I said before, consistent cash flows. That's our defining tool, I guess, looking for better quality businesses. If they've got a good history of making earnings and cash flows, we think that's a high quality business than ones that are maybe more volatile. We use that as a primary tool. We've ended up skewed right now away from resources because we think the valuations are a bit more stretched and are more exposed to some of the old media names, for example, which we think are quite cheap relative. And a lot of other stocks in consumer discretionary that we think are quite attractive on a relative basis, yeah.
So over the course of recent years, the expense of the top 100 stocks has forced money into the small to medium cap universe. Has that made it a challenge to find stocks that are well priced?
That's a good question, Tom. We've seen a sort of strange almost bifurcation of the marketplace. So, like the top end of the small cap space, you've seen a lot of well-run businesses or attractive companies get really re-rated to very high levels. So a couple of technology names, for example, that have become popular, some of the Chinese exposed infant formula names like A2 and Bellamy's had spectacular runs on, I think, a combination of good earnings growth and also money coming down to that space. We found a lot of those names to be frankly overvalued. And so we've looked more in that mid small cap space area where we've found better valuations. And right now we think actually the smaller end again, almost the micro cap areas where we're finding better relative value. So yeah, it's a good point.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the companies that have taken your fancy, as it were. Often organizations have an embedded perception, they become neglected as a result, and that's where the valuation might become more attractive. And CabCharge is one example of that in your way of thinking, at least.
Yeah, it is, yeah. So CabCharge, interesting stock because it always raises eyebrows. It's one that I think most people have a view on. It's gone through some pretty big change over the last two or three years. The former CEO left the business and a new guy came in, a guy called Andrew Skelton, came in about 2.5-3 years ago. He's kind of refreshed the company, broken down some silos, reinvested a lot in technology. And
arguably they were an early disruptor with their method of payment.
They were first in the cabs. They had a sort of quasi-monopoly of that payment, and then they saw competition come in. And what I think people have got confused about is they've seen Uber and Taxify and Ola and these sort of ride-sharing apps come along and potentially take market share from taxis. What we've seen is that taxis have actually grown for a long period of time. They're not going backwards now. The growth has slowed down a little bit. And you've seen these new ride-sharing apps actually grow the market. And I think people have got the view that the whole industry is going to be disrupted by the new apps. And we think, frankly, that actually that's not occurring. Taxis will be here for a long time. They're protected in things like people dialing up, hailing from the street you can't do with a ride-sharing app and that kind of thing. And what Skelton & Co. have done is they've actually reinvested in the company. They've released new terminals that are actually faster and better quality. And we're starting to see the business go back into earnings growth. I think people are going to miss that turnaround in the earnings base there in the company. Through the whole life, the company's made good cash flows. It's very cheap now. We think it's still on a very low multiple. And there's still this misperception around what CabCharge really does now, I think.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And you mentioned technology. within this universe, it can be quite challenging. You hear of great ideas, but then the execution falls down and investors lose money. And then other times, a very simple idea gets extraordinary traction. What are you seeing in that neck of the woods that takes your curiosity?
Yeah, that's a good question. Look, there's a combination of stocks that I think, you know, on the positive side, take investors' fancy and get re-rated very aggressively. There's some old names that have been around for a very long period of time. So one good example there is a firm you've probably heard of called Technology One. Been around for a very long time. It has a finance ERP product. It's been around for 15, 20 years with great history. And that stock has been almost neglected right now again, a bit like CabCharge in a sense. Has gone through a bit of an inflection point where people have thought that sort of misread earnings, excuse me. But you know, it's had a long history of getting 10 to 15% earnings growth, great cash conversion, and it's come back to levels we think are now really attractive. Against that, you've had at the very bottom end some of those sort of disruptors, inverted commas. I use it with slight cynicism.
It's used a lot.
Probably overused that term. And some of the newer disruptors we've avoided because they didn't have any real proven business model yet. They've got very sexy sounding names, you know, GetSwift, Begun, some of these names you would have heard of. But no revenue and no fundamental business model in our opinion yet, so we tend to avoid those kind of names.
So the vehicle that you offer is an attractive one because you do a lot of hard work in terms of sifting through these companies to find the gems, as it were. How has the fund been performing over the course of the last 12 months?
Yes, done pretty well. So the fund's only been around since like late November, the LIC, the listed version of the fund. And it's performed, you know, we're up about 7% against the index, up 6.5%. So we've beaten the index over a period of time. So it's done well based on a couple of large stocks that have been taken over. But we're still finding some really attractive names. As I said, Technology One, CabCharge, some of these sort of angels have come back a little bit in valuation we find attractive. So we're seeing good opportunities and we've performed pretty well so far.
You've spoken about the one aspect of your philosophy being keeping an open mind.
Yes.
How does that translate to actually getting money to work when it comes to investing in small
caps? Well, it's funny, we sort of talk about keeping an open mind as part of our strategy because it's very easy when you're looking at stocks every day to kind of look at something and put it down and forget that you've done the work on it or forget to go back to it. And we often say that in large companies, if you change the executive team, change the CEO of BHP or a large bank, for example, it takes a long time to imbue the cultural change or change the direction of that company. In smaller companies, you're typically running a smaller set of operations, smaller employee base, etc. And so any change in direction from a CEO or management team can jettison assets, cut costs quickly, and you can see a dramatic turnaround. So we sort of look for these inflection points. Going back a couple of years, we saw Pac Brands going through an inflection point like that and invested heavily for our clients in that name and made a lot of money. More recently, we've seen a few other retailers doing the same thing. Specialty Fashion Group recently shed it off, sold some old assets. And we think what has remained behind that change is actually really positive. So just keeping an open mind, looking at the facts, and then cross-checking that with fundamental numbers gives us, gives us good opportunities from time to time.
Marcus, great insights. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Tom.
And thanks for joining us for the Executive Series.